Welcome to another episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our show. Well, most residents were unaware major changes to Kotokuza's land use rules were quietly put into motion earlier this year. In April, the municipality opened public comment on proposed amendments to its land use management scheme, or LUMS as it's called, KDM's legal planning framework that decides what type of activities are allowed on different properties. That includes whether a property can be used as a home, a guest house, a shop, or short-term holiday accommodation. But here's the problem. Many of the people directly affected by these changes, including short-term rental owners, boutique hotels, and local agencies, say they weren't properly notified. Then, just weeks later, came the enforcement blitz, a coordinated operation that saw several short-term rental properties raided by municipal officials from multiple departments. My guest today is Tamarin Sheriffs, a long-time Airbnb superhost and local business owner who found herself at the centre of Kotokuza's short-term rental crackdown in June. In the weeks that followed, she stepped into an organising role, coordinating a collective response from short-term rental operators across the region. She's since submitted a formal letter on behalf of this growing group, calling for clear licensing rules, genuine public consultation, and a seat at the table in shaping Kotokuza's land use policies. Tamarin, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, such a pleasure.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning. In April, Kotokuza opened public comment on changes to its land use scheme, which impacts hundreds of short-term rental owners. How did the municipality inform the public about this?
From everything I can discover, yes, after the fact.
After your blitz.
Anybody involved in short-term rental, or sometimes called holiday letting, or self-catering, was completely unaware that that public participation process was open.
Yeah.
And I think that was a complete oversight on definitions, because in the long LUMS document, Land Use Management Scheme Amendment document, there was some reference to self-catering requiring a special consent if it's in a residential zone. So that's the amendment that was proposed. And I'm part of a big community here on the north coast of holiday-let individuals and companies, and not one person I've encountered has had heard of it.
So where did they actually inform the public that there was going to be amendments to its policy?
So what I've discovered since the fact is that it was published in a Zulu language newspaper called Langa.
Which is I think it's a regional newspaper, not a community newspaper.
No,
that's right.
Not. And a lot of the people who are operating here on the North Coast would be reading an English language newspaper. Yeah. And the Chamber of Commerce was invited to comment, and the answers that I've received since asking who else was invited is that there were developers invited. So the angle that was taken was really people who are building new properties and people who are in the developer and hotel space. And somehow the short-term rental industry completely fell through the cracks. It didn't occur even to the people who were invited to say, hey, this is thousands and thousands and thousands of stakeholders who are going to be impacted here who were completely not even at the table.
Okay, so the comment period closed on the 13th of May, but what I'm hearing is most stakeholders in the short-term rental space weren't even aware it was happening. Yeah. So this oversight, was it a process that do you think that that did include a specific industry? Was this an oversight deliberate, or do you think you just fell through the cracks? Because, I mean, the impact is massive, and we're going to discuss that in a few moments. Yeah.
Look, it's impossible to say what the motive was, if there was any motive. But the best conclusion that I can come up with is that it was a problem of definitions. If I say the word short-term rental, STR, it's even referred in the industry, that might not turn on a light for somebody who's a developer. The specific document made a reference to self-catering, and even the Chamber of Commerce didn't come on saying, oh, self-catering means holiday letting.
What about bed and breakfast? Does that also fall under a short-term rental?
No, a bed and breakfast is already quite well defined and established.
Okay.
And even though it is a kind of short-term rental, it's a very defined parameter where you're offering breakfast and you've got staff and you've got a sign outside and you've got to have certain amount of parkings, and that's very kind of defined in our bylaws. But I don't think many people who are from lodges, bed and breakfasts, guest houses and hotels, those are the four very defined categories currently, were very involved in the participation.
Okay. So on Friday the 20th of June, your property was raided without any warnings. Officials from multiple departments from Quitacusa showed up and served you documents accusing you of operating illegally. Is that correct? Can you walk us through what happened that day and what actually they alleged?
Yes, so it was a big surprise for my cleaner who was there, phoned me saying, you better come here, there's lots of people. There was probably about 12 officials.
Yeah, what sort of departments are we talking about? Yeah,
we're talking about the head. So the head of business licensing, the head of town planning, the head of buildings and permits. It was a very severe and serious operation. And the documents that they left behind was an intention of prosecution for operating without a business license. And I had 7 days to respond to that. And they were alleging that you need to have commercial rates and commercial electricity if you're taking money for a property. And even though in the moment, obviously, I was trying to describe the difference between a self-catering holiday let and a guest house, which is very well defined. A guest house is very well defined. They were saying, look, you're going to have to go through the formal process, and if you've got anything to submit, then that's what you're going to have to do. And it didn't just happen to my property. It happened to a couple of other people who we managed to quickly find out about, and we all met and compared notes, and we discovered that there was a lodge that was blitz. The language that they use when they arrived is, this is a blitz operation, which is also a bit scary.
Yeah, and very intimidating.
Very intimidating, and I fortunately didn't have any guests at that moment, but the other individual who had three of their self-catering units blitzed did have guests, and it took him a while to arrive on the property, so he managed to get there at the second location and said, look, please, can we do this outside? And they said, no. In fact, if you're going to try and interfere with us, we're going to have to go and get enforcement. They had the traffic department to stop him from interfering, and they came in, and the guests were very intimidated. They ended up leaving the property feeling really disturbed, because it seemed like a kind of the language the guest uses, it seems like a drug raid or very intense thing.
Yes. Unbelievable. And you know these changes which affect short-term rental operators and related stakeholders. What does this mean for their business and livelihoods? I'm talking about, what about families, you know, that try to cover their bond by renting out a spare room?
Sure.
Or someone who goes on holiday in December and they rent out their house on Airbnb for 10 days.
Yeah.
This is directly impacting all these homes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the real issue here is an issue of definitions, because there is no one kind of short-term rental owner. Like you say, there's people, it's very big in our neighborhood for people to go away over December and let somebody stay in their house and either use an agent to do that. There are lots of agencies on the North Coast who manage that, or even to do it themselves with a platform like Airbnb and Booking.com. Now, who is that? What is the definition of that? And how is that different from someone who has 40 properties, 40 of their own properties that they manage, or an agent who manages on someone else's behalf? And then there's every kind of variation in between.
Yeah.
So right now, all that the amendment document says is that you will need to apply for special consent in order to run a self-catering. It doesn't say what that special consent criteria would be. Does it mean that everybody in your street has to agree? Does it mean that all your neighbors have to agree? Does it mean that you can only have 30 nights or 90 nights a year like some other big cities around the world has done? It's completely silent on what the special consent criteria would be.
So vague.
And obviously, depending on what the criteria would be, it would really impact many, many lives and businesses. Obviously, a short-term rental has the host, it's got the cleaning team, it's got the laundry company, it's got the people who leave the soap, and there's a lot of suppliers who are involved in creating a great guest experience for the people who come and visit where we live.
Yeah, and you know, Belita is a holiday town. A lot of our tourism relies on these little rents, and I mean, we see in December and over July, we're seeing this very actively.
Totally.
So, what you put together a group, you know, you lobbied very quickly, and you put together a group, and you put a formal letter together. What are you calling for in Quitacusa? What are you asking the municipality for?
Well, what's very important is that the people who are going to be impacted get a chance to share the inside industry info. As I mentioned earlier, I think the issue was a definitions issue, that even the people who did see the amendment document didn't understand that self-catering meant Airbnb or holiday let. So there's so many nuances around kinds of hosts and what the threshold should be and at what point do you become professional, that anybody trying to trying to legislate that or make a policy about it without understanding the nuances is going to make the mistakes that many other municipalities around the world has done before. I mean, there is even a precedent in Cape Town where in 2017 they put some bylaws in place that went legal and got overturned because they didn't include the community who are actually familiar with what needs to happen. So what I'm calling for is for the community who understand how it works and what the definitions are to be involved in deciding whatever kind of policies or consent are required.
A proper public participation process. That's what you're basically saying. And what support have you seen from the broader community since the Blitz?
Well, every person who is involved, whether they're a hobby host, where they've just go away on, you know, once a year, or whether they manage their own holiday home, to the big agencies who have 40 to 400 properties, has been very concerned about what it's going to mean for their business. Nobody wants to be illegal. Nobody wants to be doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. So everybody wants to be compliant, and that's a message that we want to get across. But they've been very scared about, even scared to be vocal, to say, look, I'm even scared to put my name on this letter that you're giving me, because what is that going to mean for my business and my staff? And am I going to have to stop operating when I've got these set overheads and I've got these employees?
Okay. So you asking the municipality, formally you've submitted a letter asking for possibly the public participation process to be opened again because now it's closed and you have had no say in it. Is that what you're saying?
That's been the formal request.
Yeah.
There has been a variation in the informal responses about the idea of removing the self-catering part of the LUMS document amendment to stop, not pause the process of everything else in that document that needs to come into effect. And that feels like the best win-win, is that if we can take that out of that document, we can discuss it and give it the time that it needs, and it doesn't have to delay any of the other things that do have to happen inside of that document that are not related to short-term rental. And I'd be happy with that. I think that would be a really good compromise.
Yeah. So when they came in and they asked that you need a business license and you've got 7 days to comply, did you then go and have to hire someone to get a business license? How did you go through the process?
I mean, it's worth noting that is how I became aware of the LUMS amendment. That, in fact, that blitz that happened at my property was the way that the entire short-term rental community became aware, because up until that point, nobody was aware of it. And because that happened to me, and I'm quite active in the short-term rental community, I have a short-term rental education business. So I make it my business to be aware.
Yeah.
It was through the process of trying to find out what license are they talking about, and I reached out to all the people who I thought might be able to help me, that I became aware that this amendment process had been out for public participation, and it was the head of the Chamber of Commerce who gave me their submission to read what they thought, that brought it to my attention. And I said, hey, but wait, this little line self-catering has got huge implications.
Yeah.
So that was how it became to my awareness, and that is how I found about the LUMS amendment, and it's how I found about, I took a deep dive into what definitions do exist currently. There aren't any clear definitions currently around the difference between a self-catering and a holiday let, meaning an individual flat owner or house owner letting somebody rent their place for a period of time.
Yeah.
There's no definitions of what a short-term rental is versus a long-term rental. For example, if you're saying you're making money from your property, does that mean any property owner who has a tenant and is getting money every month needs some kind of license?
Yeah.
What point does it shift from short to long? There's no, it's silent on that matter.
Okay. And has Kodikuza been responsive to your
They haven't letter. Been responsive to me. I had 7 days to respond, and what I responded was, please show me what it is that I'm in breach of. I want to comply. And I've had no acknowledgement of that email.
Okay.
The Ward 22 councillor was made aware very quickly, and she made a formal submission for the LUMS amendment participation process to reopen.
Okay.
She did get a formal acknowledgement of that, and I believe that there are active discussions happening to make a decision. In fact, we've got a commitment that we'll have an answer if it will or won't be opened by the end of today even.
Okay.
And then there is also an association called SASTRA, the South African Short-Term Rental Association, who I'm connected with and who also made a formal submission for the participation process to reopen.
Okay, so hopefully this might be resolved fairly and transparently. You know, I actually have to say this. I can't help but point out the irony. We have a municipality that can't fix traffic lights, but somehow it has the capacity to mobilize full task teams to go after holiday hosts.
And that was one of the other comments I made in my formal submission. I said, I really want to formally object to the manner in which the property was blitzed.
Yeah.
Because if I had received one phone call or one email or one letter in the post box, we could have easily resolved whatever it is that needs to be resolved.
Sat around the table as well.
I do want to point out that the blitz operations, I think if there hasn't been any formal response, but if there were one, they would say that they were enforcing current bylaws as opposed to proposed amended ones.
Okay.
Because the document that was left behind was stating that I was running a guest house. And I've mentioned quite a few times that definitions are very important.
Yes.
And the definition of a guest house is you arrive, there's a sign outside, you go to a reception, you get a key to your room, you go and sleep in your room, you come out, you have breakfast, there's a kitchen, there's staff. That's currently how a guest house operates.
Yeah.
And because there is no other definition to say, hey, you're running a soft catering, that is literally the only thing they could leave behind and say you're doing. But the real problem is that a guest house is not actually a self-catering or a short-term rental.
Okay.
And we're not the only place who's trying to grapple with this. This is something that's been grappled with all around the world. And obviously South Africa's a bit, you know, maybe even half a decade behind.
Yeah.
But is having to come to terms with recognizing that they're not the same offering and that not the same audience even.
Okay. Well, you know what? Thanks so much, Tamara, for breaking this down for us. Your experience highlights a bigger conversation about accountability and inclusion in local decision making, one that affects us all, whether we rent our own places or just call Kwadakuza home. So we look forward to following up on the story and bringing you updates on what happens. Thanks for joining me.
Such a pleasure. You're welcome.
Uncensored with Penny Faree was brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronics. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.